Hello and welcome to the Space Kid Podcast. I'm your host, Ishan Jha.
And I am Rohit Jha, your dad.
And co-host. And today we'll be talking about Artemis II and Starship.
And Artemis, is that like the name of the music artist or what is that?
So Artemis is, there's a bit of mythology I'll talk about here. So if you go back to the Apollo program, where we first sent humans to the moon, and President Kennedy's first very, very known speech to "Here we go to the moon with this, before this decade is out." That whole program,
that was a space race, right? That was JFK's big challenge that he set out for.
Yes, so that was the Apollo program that sent humans to the moon. And in mythology, Apollo is the sun god, and Artemis, the moon god, is Apollo's twin sister. So they're kind of doing a play on that, and they're calling this new mission that they have to the moon, ambitious mission to get to moon and in the future Mars, they're calling it Artemis as the twin sister of Apollo.
I had no idea it had a Greek, I mean, I knew Artemis was a Greek name. I had no idea it was related to Apollo. That makes total sense. Okay. So, and would you argue that like JFK's challenge led to the greatest acceleration of space innovation for the U.S.?
Oh yeah, and the technology that they had to do it back then was crazy. So, did you know like it takes more kind of computing power and energy to do a Google search than it took to go to the moon?
What?
In Apollo. So the
computational energy. What we have in an iPhone is more sophisticated than what they had in the Apollo spacecraft.
Oh, hundredfold. Wow. Not even iPhone. Just like if I were to Google right now, say, what is Starship? That would use more computational power than it took to go to the moon and back.
Wow, that's crazy, Ishan. Okay, let's talk about Artemis for a second. Now, you said Artemis is a program similar to Apollo.
Yes.
So is that like one rocket, multiple rockets? It's all about the mission to go. Like, tell me a little bit about the mission, and then what does the program consist of?
So Artemis is the mission to go to the moon and eventually do to Mars. But the reason that you're doing that on the moon is because it's a lot easier to get to. And basically, as they said in their video detailing the details about Artemis, they said, what we must do at Mars, we must first do in the moon.
Hmm.
So they're kind of using it as a test platform, and they want to establish a permanent human presence there, like the ISS. And the way they're trying to do that is they're gonna have a slight difference in like the way the mission is from Apollo to Artemis. So there's a few important differences that'll allow them to do that, and the reason why they're doing it is mainly the fact that the Apollo missions could only access one part of the moon, one kind of wedge down the middle, and they had the same orbit pattern because it all worked out in their trajectory, and they went the same trajectory every time.
Okay.
Because they didn't have a sophisticated system enough to calculate the other trajectories. So they had one trajectory, and that allowed them to visit one kind of area of the moon.
Got it. So they had a very narrow landing spot. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. Okay. And that was all because they had limitations in their computation calculations?
Not just that, but also just the capability of the rocket.
Okay.
It was just a lot more fuel intensive and service intensive to try to visit the other parts of the moon because it required a lot more different burns and stuff.
Okay.
And it was just a lot. So the one thing that Artemis will differ greatly to Apollo here is Gateway. So they're gonna...
Wait. What did you just say? Gateway?
Yes.
What is Gateway?
So I was about to say that. So Gateway is a station that they'll pre-place, like a kind of a space station that'll...
Similar to ISS?
Yeah, but not as big. So it'll be in a halo orbit around the moon. So the halo orbit is basically, if you take the moon, and it's like a big oval, like a very thin oval. So it's kind of an oval like that around the moon, and it'll just be orbiting the moon. And then they'll also do pre-staging, where they'll have commercial partners that will pre-put all the stuff that they need on the moon and put it at the landing spots, at the designated spots.
Hmm.
So those are the two big differences. And Gateway basically...
Is Gateway the first like space station that does not orbit the Earth and orbit something else? Because ISS actually
first humane space station. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
So the Gateway will the Orion. So sorry, no, the Artemis rocket SLS, and I'll talk a bit more about that next. So it'll go to Gateway and it'll dock with Gateway. And from there, they will already be a pre-staged lunar lander that they will switch to the people who are going to land on the moon, and they will land from there. That way they can choose kind of which direction, and then the lunar lander will just go to the moon, and then when the mission's done, it'll come back up to Gateway where the other astronauts will waiting, and then they'll go back.
Okay, can I try to summarize just for my layman's, my simple knowledge here? You have Gateway, which is a space station. You have a lander that's attached to Gateway, and then you said a bunch of stuff that I don't even know. You said something about SLS. I have no idea what that even means.
So yes, I'll talk about that next. SLS is short for Space Launch System.
Okay.
Which is the rocket that NASA is designed to take them to the moon. And then you missed one thing, which is the pre-staging.
Okay.
So they'll have a lot of stuff that they need already on the moon.
And the pre-staging takes place how?
Commercially.
Okay.
So commercial partners like SpaceX and other companies that are going to be capable in the future of taking payloads to the moon, they will take the equipment that they need on the moon to the moon for them and have it ready at the landing sites.
Got it. Okay, so this is a pretty complicated mission,
Endeavor, I see. Yes.
And has SpaceX, are they going to have their own, and all these other commercial entities, are they going to have their own access to Gateway, or are they going to be using something else to drop these payloads to the moon? Or
they will use their own rockets as of now, because you know it's commercial partners. NASA is not going to be launching these.
Okay.
So they will use their own rockets, NASA, Blue Origin, some other companies, and they are in the process of designing rockets that will be capable of taking these things to the moon, and they'll use it to land, and then I'll talk about also the commercial lander program after I talk about SLS.
Okay, so tell me about SLS.
So SLS is NASA's mega rocket that they're going to design to take people to the moon.
Similar to Saturn V or something different?
Yes, yes. It's the same style of rocket. It looks very similar, except there's two solid rocket boosters. And if you don't know what those are, so, you know the space shuttle? I think a lot of people know what that looks like. There's the big orange fuselage.
Yep.
And on the side, there's two white things.
Yep.
So, four or two will be on SLS. And SLS is mainly in two parts. So, it's the Orion capsule, where the crew will live. So, that consists of Orion, which is like the crew capsule, you know, the cone-shaped mechanism, and then it has a parachute on top of it. There's the service module, which is a cylinder that goes below it that houses life support and all of those systems, and it has its own engine.
Okay.
And then the launch abort system, which will jettison shortly after liftoff, and we'll talk about that later in the episode when we talk about the flight plan for Artemis 2. So the launch abort system is just in case something goes wrong with the body during the launch, and it's capable of pulling the crew to safety.
Wow, okay.
So that's the capsule portion of it.
Okay.
And then we have the SLS body. So this is the biggest part of the rocket. It has all the weight, which is in the fuel. So it has the solid rocket boosters, which are the big white things, and those are extremely powerful. Like, those get the rocket into the air. It's similar to a space shuttle. It has that same, so the solid rocket boosters, which jettison very soon because they're absolute fuel monsters.
Yep.
They use fuel very fast.
Are these
fast.
Reusable rockets or no?
No. Okay. NASA is not going for reusable on this because, SpaceX is already doing that with their Falcon 9. And last time they tried it with Space Shuttle, it was... The reusability system was not perfect. It took like months to refurbish. It was a lot of extra cost, and they couldn't actually make a dent in the cost to build every rocket.
NASA. What happened to the recycling program?
I know.
Let's get it together.
So in this way, SpaceX is more ambitious than them.
Got it. Okay.
So let's continue talking about the body. The body also consists of a yellow kind of, the biggest part of the rocket is the yellow fuselage. It looks kind of like the space shuttle thing.
Okay.
And it has four RS-25 engines on the bottom. So those engines, they're very powerful. And do you know the three engines on the back of the space shuttle itself?
Yeah.
That's those engines.
Wow.
So it's
Okay.
reusing a lot of that technology.
Got it.
So those four of those engines will propel it for the part of its ascent, pretty much around until max Q, which is maximum dynamic pressure, or short for after the launch, the moment of maximum stress on the vehicle.
Okay.
And then after that, the stress goes down because it's escaping the atmosphere.
Got it.
And then it has the exploration upper stage, which is more vacuum optimized engines, which means the engines are, the bell is larger and they're a lot more efficient.
The bell, what is that?
So it's the nozzle.
The nozzle. You're saying bell nozzle. I know these terms. I have no idea what that means in terms of
Okay,
the
so the
SLS.
opening of the engine. It's
Got it.
the same for any rocket.
Okay.
So the opening of the engine is larger and it's just optimized for use at zero gravity.
Okay.
And that will do the that's the workhorse of the rocket. It'll do the majority of the work in terms of getting the rocket into orbit and setting it on a trajectory towards the moon. And then on top of it all, there's the cargo hold,
Okay.
which is pretty much what it sounds like. It holds any other things that they need to take with them to the moon or other cargo that they want to take to space.
Okay. So you got the Orion capsule followed by the SLS and all its components. And that whole thing is going all the way up to Gateway.
So no, only the Orion capsule will go up to Gateway.
Got it. But
Because the
the SLS
exploration.
body is, I mean, the whole thing is moving in one
Yes,
motion.
yes.
I know it detaches and whatnot, and eventually it gets astronauts up into
So the
Gateway.
upper stage will fall, and then the exploration upper stage, sorry, I mean the lower stage will fall back to Earth.
Okay.
The exploration upper stage will be jettisoned once it puts it on that trajectory towards the moon, which is kind of a waste because it just stays in space.
Oh,
So what did
that's
you do?
not good recycling at all. Come on, NASA.
So actually, just a cool side note here. SpaceX once did this thing where they had they also have a similar rocket with the bottom stage that lands, and then the upper stage, which is like the tinier part, it actually they put it on a trajectory where it fired its engines one more time and it went back to Earth and they caught it in a ship.
No way.
And so technically the rocket was completely reusable.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I mean, both in
Yeah.
terms of resource efficiency and also engineering, it's got to be a lot harder to,
Oh
you know,
yeah.
catch a rocket.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think I have a good understanding of Artemis, and its relation to Apollo and sort of some of the objectives that you talked about.
So
Can
you
you?
want to summarize just for the audience?
I think you summarized it well. I did have a question though.
Okay.
My question is, who's gonna ride on Artemis? Have they thought about that yet? Is there
Yes.
someone else that they've,
Well,
are
there's
they taking volunteers
n
or what's going on?
That's actually what SpaceX is doing with their. But anyway, so Artemis, they've decided the crew,
Okay.
and there's four people that are going on the rocket, and there's actually many missions that they're gonna have, like Apollo. So they've only decided the crew of the next mission, which will go around the moon, and that's the one that we're talking about today.
Okay.
But let me just state two quick facts here about Artemis, just to make you think about like the magnitude of this mission. So prior to launch and the successful Artemis 1 mission, the Orion capsule is the farthest a human-rated capsule has ever traveled from Earth.
Is this on, was it Apollo 13?
The record was set, the previous record was Apollo 13 when they had to circle around the moon.
And Orion was the same capsule.
Yes, and it just
Okay.
broke that record. And then after the Artemis 2 mission, it'll be the farthest humans have ever traveled away from Earth.
Wow.
And it'll surpass Apollo's 13 record by of like, the Apollo's 13 was around 4 million kilometers. It'll surpass that by about 35,000. So
Wow.
that's just think about like 4,050,000
Wow.
kilometers about
That's
away from Earth.
crazy. That's pretty far.
Far away from home.
Yeah, that is that's quite the feat.
Artemis 1 far from home.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's go back to your question about the crew of Artemis 2.
Yeah, I want to know who's on this. Who are the lucky passengers on this crazy ride?
So the first person we'll talk about is Victor Glover.
Okay, Victor, and he's one of how many people?
Four,
Only
again.
four astronauts?
Well, it's quite a tiny.
Oh, it's
It's kind of a
tiny.
tiny.
Orion's a tiny.
Yes,
Okay.
it's not a very big kind of
Got
spacecraft.
it. So
So.
four. Victor's the first one up.
Yeah, so Victor Glover is the pilot of the mission, so he'll pilot the craft, and he served aboard Crew One, the Dragon mission, so it's the first operational SpaceX Dragon mission.
Okay.
Woo-woo. So yeah, he's gonna be flying aboard there, and then
And you said he was a pilot.
yeah.
Is there just one pilot in the whole thing?
Well, they all know how to pilot
But
craft
he's
in
the main
sense,
one.
but he's the main one.
Got it. So
So
his video game skills have got to be off the charts.
yep.
Hand-eye coordination. Got it. Okay.
And then there's Christina Koch.
Okay.
So she's a mission specialist,
Okay. Now,
which
what does a
means
specialist actually do?
so
Aren't they
it's
all specialists?
yeah, it's kind of fuzzy the terms of the thing, but commander is the only one that really has a special meaning.
Got it.
Because the commander is, it's kind of just titles, honestly. Like, there's
Okay. And
no.
Christina, she's not the commander. She is a specialist?
Yes.
Okay. So tell me,
So
what is she doing?
she, again, this isn't like an ISS mission, so they're just collecting data. They're not really doing kind of experiments
Okay.
aboard per se.
And is this her first time flying?
No. So she served as a flight engineer on the ISS. For Expedition 59, 60, and 61 aboard the space shuttle.
What 5960? Those are different
The
missions.
mission names for space shuttle.
Wow. Okay. How many missions does space shuttle have?
Oh, I want to say like almost 100, I want to say.
Wow.
It's a
That's
lot of
pretty
missions for
impressive.
sure.
Okay. So she was on those three expeditions and.
She set a record for the longest single space flight. For a woman, which is 328 days without stopping.
What?
So she was in
She was
space
in
a
space for a year. Wow.
almost a
I wonder
year.
what kind of effect that has on
Oh,
one's mental and physical.
it has a lot. Like there's, you have to recover when you get back down for a really long
Yeah, because
time.
I bet your body's not even used to gravity anymore.
No, not a, you can't even walk for like days.
Wow.
It's
Impressive.
crazy. Yeah.
Christina. So she definitely a deserving second astronaut on Artemis 2.
And she participated in the first all-female spacewalk outside the space station when they do work outside the space station.
Wow.
First all-female.
Impressive. Impressive, Christina. Okay.
So then we move on to Reid Wiseman. He is the big commander.
The big kahuna.
Yes, so
And what does a commander do?
he serves. The commander, so he kind of
It's like a captain?
oversees everyone. Yeah,
Okay.
captain. He's the one that you go to if you see a problem, right?
Okay.
And he kind of, he's like the human person. Like, he'll keep everyone in order.
Okay.
So,
He's the boss on the big ride. Okay. The
yep.
big
He
boss.
served
Okay.
165 days
Okay.
in space aboard Space Shuttle Expedition 41.
Okay. So he's only been up once? Wow. But he was up for there for a long period of time, basically half a
I
year.
mean,
Okay.
everyone who goes up there is up there
I
for
mean,
like at
but
least a few
Christina,
months.
would you say 330
Six,
days or
three
something?
hundred thirty, yes. So
Wow.
some people longer than others. Actually,
Wow.
one astronaut now that is completed like the world's longest day. I feel like he's been up there for more than a year, cause
Wow.
his spacecraft, something happened to it when he was at the station. Now he's just gonna come down soon here.
Wow. He's just been chilling up there in space for a long time.
Yep.
Okay. So you have Victor, Christina, the commander,
Reid Wiseman, and
Reid
then
Wiseman, and
last
then.
we have Jeremy Hansen. Jeremy Hansen. So he's another mission specialist. He's a CSA astronaut, so Canadian Space Agency,
Oh,
actually.
okay. And Victor, Christina, Reed were all Americans, and Jeremy's a
Yes,
Canadian? Okay.
yes. So
Is
they're
it like a
adding.
partnership then, I guess, with CSA? Okay.
USA, US Space Agency has always tried to do an outreach program to the CSA for ISS astronauts.
Okay.
Like, it's definitely hard to fly on the US if you're in the CSA, but like a lot of astronauts, famous astronauts like Chris Hadfield, he flew in space as a part of that.
Okay, great.
So Jeremy Hansen, CSA astronaut.
All right.
So let's just quickly talk about the records broken by Artemis.
Okay.
Two. So it'll be the first woman to be on a lunar mission, the first African-American. So woman is Christina Koch.
Yeah.
African-American is Victor Glover.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's awesome. Mission. You didn't. Yeah. You never mentioned that. Okay.
I was going to mention it in the records part. Mm-hmm. So, and then first Canadian on a lunar mission.
Awesome.
Farthest distance past the Earth traveled by humans and most people in lunar orbit at once, which is four people. Previous record was three because that was like the only amount that Apollo could hurt.
Okay.
So obviously a focal point here is...
Wow, what a dynamite set of people and mm-hmm. of objectives.
So obviously NASA focused a lot on getting a very diverse crew. I think that was a big part of their mission. And mm-hmm. a lot of they advertised it as getting the first woman to step on the moon, the first non-American to step on the moon, the first African-American person to step on the moon. So a lot of this is focusing on diversity and getting everyone on the moon. So now let's talk about the flight plan real quick.
Sounds good.
So, of course, first they will lift off, at least for Artemis 2's case, from launch pad 39B.
And that's in where? Austin, Texas?
No. Kennedy Space Center.
Okay. Kennedy Space Center is the one in Florida?
Yep. Yes, Cape Canaveral.
Cape Canaveral, yep.
So when it launches, it will launch over the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay.
So the first thing that will happen is, of course, like the solid rocket boosters, the big white rockets that are very powerful, they will jettison because they use a lot of fuel really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And the launch abort system that could pull the crew to safety on the top of the rocket mm-hmm. will also be jettisoned.
Okay.
Then the core stage, the big yellow part, will shut off more later into the flight when they're almost going to break the atmosphere, and it will separate over the Atlantic Ocean. And then they'll complete a maneuver that will raise the kind of attitude, and they'll commence a burn that will set it into high Earth orbit, which is kind of the orbit that they're going to do the go-no-go pull to go to the moon.
Okay.
And that will mark the record where it'll be the first ever woman to venture beyond low Earth orbit.
Got it.
So that will happen, and that's where they'll kind of do their pull for go-no-go. And then from there, they'll commence the translunar injection. That's what it's called. It's the burn that will set them into lunar orbit.
Wow.
And
can I ask you this? When they are in that lower Earth orbit and they're doing the go-no-go decision, high Earth orbit, are they just going to stay up there indefinitely until they find the right window, or is there a chance they may not even go to the moon?
Well, they won't stay there indefinitely, but they launch on a specific day and window for that reason, so that they meet the window. Because it's not like the moon, it's a predictable thing. So they'll launch on a specific window, and if they miss the window, then they wait to launch, and then once they're in the orbit, they'll complete the go-no-go, and it's all timed so that they can fairly quickly do the TLI burn, translunar injection, and jettison the upper stage.
Got it. Okay.
So after that, they'll coast towards the moon for a few days, and they will orbit the moon and kind of do a slingshot maneuver around the moon back to Earth.
That sounds like Apollo 13.
I remember
the slingshot around. Because right where they were running low on fuel and they had to do a recovery mission and slingshot around. At least that's what I remember from
the movie. It's like planned Apollo 13.
Got it. Okay.
But it's going a bit farther than that. Okay. And
essentially, when you say slingshot, they're using what? The gravity of the moon?
The weak gravity of the moon. Yeah. So kind of the orbit is kind of where you're on a trajectory to escape, but then it's kind of a sweet spot where the gravity is just enough to pull you back.
Mm-hmm.
So as that's happening, then finally they'll fire their engine once, and that will send them kind of back to the Earth and escape that orbit. And from there, the upper module will jettison the service module, and it will make the parachute landing that's so famous and seen in so many rockets.
Awesome.
So that's the flight plan, and that's all about Artemis 2. Stay tuned for our next part when we'll talk about Starship 2, because the Starship and these other commercial partners, as you'll see in the next episode, is a big part of how they're going to the moon and another exciting era for other astronauts that are going to the moon, not just this.
Ishan, thank you so much for telling me about Artemis 2. I am super excited. Can't wait to track this on my own, and I enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. This has been the Space Kid Podcast, bringing the cosmos to your doorstep. I'm Ishan Jha, and I want to thank you for listening. Signing out.